Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. It's Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And as always, I'm here with my co-host, my partner in crime, I should say, the great Tim McLeod. Tim, how are you?
I am just doing fine, Rich. How's everything up in your neck of the world? Getting a little snow, are we?
It sucks, Tim. I'm glad you brought that up. This was not pre-rehearsed. Tim, we're going to play a Guess the Player right off the bat. Are you ready?
Hey, I was born ready, Rich.
So, Tim, it has been absolutely brutal for the last 6 weeks here in the Northeast. I don't live in Boston, which they're getting absolutely pummeled by snow, but we're getting our fair share of snow. Now, Tim, I live in the suburbs. And in the suburbs, I got fired from shoveling my driveway about 10 years ago. And I decided this past year, Tim, as I'm trying to sort my finances out, maybe looking towards retirement, trying to get the expenses under control, and I decided to find out how much it cost for somebody to come and shovel my driveway.
Somebody to shovel? Actually, I've seen how long your driveway is, Rich.
It's not that long, Tim. So the guy came at 5:15 this morning. I was actually taking the dog out. That same time. So I decided at the time how long it took with him and his big plow. 12 minutes, Tim. 12 minutes to plow my driveway and then clean off the sidewalk going into the house. So it's about 40 feet, the driveway. It's not a lawn driveway. It's a traditional suburban driveway. Tim, the question for you, if you would like to play the game, for a 15-minute operation to shovel my driveway, Tim McLeod, how much does that cost to shovel Rich Wilson's driveway, 40 feet long, a little bit, somewhere between 12 and 15 minutes in the great state of New Jersey?
Let me see. $70,000 worth of truck, $5,000 worth of plow, gas, insurance, maintenance, gouging people when you can get away with it. I'll say $75.
$75. Tim has guessed $75. Tim, you could not be more wrong. Tim, it costs $122 every time it snows more than an inch, and the young man has to come to plow my driveway. $122, Tim.
Rich, could you please send me an application form? I would appreciate that immensely.
Isn't that insane, Tim? I mean, absolutely insane. It's like, remember in It's a Wonderful Life, the great Christmas movie, when the bell rings and the little girl says, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wing. So every time it snows, everybody listening to our broadcast, all 12, 13,000 people, knows that Rich has just spent $122 to do nothing, Tim, just to clear snow for my driveway.
You know, hey, I might take that job with my trusty shovel. If they'll give me a green card, that might be more than I'm not going to go there.
I mean, the guys, I give them a lot. I mean, the guys, they mow the lawn in the summertime and then they do the snow, and it looked pretty bad for everybody. And I was living large, Tim, all the way through like the late part of January because we had no snow. But in the last 3 to 4 weeks, I mean, it's like 2 or 3 times a week that stupid guy comes in his truck and his plow on the front. I just go, oh, please leave. It's not that bad. Not that bad. And then $122 later, he's done.
Well, you know, I got to tell you a quick story about how cold it was here yesterday, Rich. You'll like this one, okay? Yesterday, it was minus 30 something, okay? And I'm out
work. Oh, my gosh. Is that wind chill or is that regular temperature?
No, the regular temperature was only minus 28. The wind chill, I think, was minus 35 or something like that. At that temperature, it doesn't make much difference. It's just cold, right? So anyhow, I'm working away, and I'm at this convenience store, and I'm in the back of my truck. And next thing I know, there's my loving wife, Kathy, with a coffee, saying, I figured you might be cold, so I brought you a coffee.
Wow, Tim, that's lovely.
Well, you know, that is really, truly special. So I went up to I got out of the back, went up, unlocked the front, grabbed my thermos, okay? This still had half a cup of fairly hot coffee in it, right? And just gave it a flick to empty it. And it crystallized before it hit the ground, Rich. It turned into a cloud of brown snow.
Wow. You know, they did that last year, didn't they? That was the big thing. People were throwing hot water, and it was crystallizing. And you actually did it with coffee. That is absolutely remarkable. Tim, I'm almost embarrassed to say it's tonight it's going to get down to minus five, I think, here. And we're, like, completely freaked out. Minus five is a heat wave for you.
Yeah, I'll take minus five right now and smile on both sides of my face, Rich. But, hey, you're not used to that. You're not used to living like an Eskimo. That's going to hurt.
Yeah, I actually went and started my car. I didn't do anything today, so I literally, for the show, I started my car up in the garage. I just wanted to make sure when I went out tomorrow, because I have to be somewhere tomorrow morning, that the car actually starts, because I don't even know what to do, Tim. It's ridiculously cold. But here's the best news, Tim.
Okay.
In 3 to 4 days, pitchers and catchers report to both Arizona and Florida, depending on three. I think a couple of them come in on the 18th, but most people arrive on the 19th.
Yee-haw is all I have to say. Spring's got to be around the corner. Once pitchers and catchers start reporting, I don't care how cold it is, how much snow we get. You know, hope springs. It's there, Rich.
It absolutely is. Guys, if you want to get in touch with us, the best way to do that is on the Twitter, at Rich Wilson FSG, at Rich Wilson FSG is my tag. And, of course, at Timothy LMC, at Timothy LMC, if you want to get the great Tim McLeod, go out and visit our Facebook page. It's called Prospect 361 Dynasty League Groups, but we talk a lot more. I shouldn't say we, because I hardly go on there at all, but Tim is out there all the time, main scan, and the whole host of listeners are out there. They're talking everything from Dynasty League, Keeper Leagues, Redraft Leagues, anything they want to talk about. It's actually a really, really good site. If you want to go out and rate and review us, please do that on iTunes. Tim, I read one of our guys last week who said we can't pronounce a name to save our lives. I didn't read the title, Tim, and he said, Rich and Todd do a great job on the show every week. Now, for those of you who've been with us for a long time, remember that Tim is a brilliant mind in fantasy baseball, well-respected in the industry. It was about a year ago, Tim, that somebody said Rich and Todd in the iTunes notes for the world to see forever, and this guy was clever enough to actually put that in the title. I thought that was very, very funny.
Yeah, that was well done. Yeah, you called me Tom for a while, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, this is Todd, T-O-T-D-D, Tom, Tim, so that's, I'm calling you Todd. Tom, I'm all confused now, so.
it's those voices in my head, Rich. Not that I've ever been diagnosed with multiple personality syndrome, but I do have the names in case it ever does occur.
Guys, we've got a great show planned for you. We're going to primarily talk about outfields. We're going to do a bunch of listener questions. I think we're going to do a wacky segment called If You Could Look Into a Crystal Ball. If you knew something today during the draft, would you do something different? And it's just trying to look at maybe some guys who may take other people's jobs, just trying to take a look at that a little bit. But, Tim, we're going to start off with our game from 2 weeks ago where it's win Tim's money. Where I think it was about 35 entries or so, people from all over the world entering into this game. Next Sunday, Tim, I fly over to Las Vegas, so the show will not be next Sunday. It will actually be next Monday, 9 p.m. So if you want to come in live, it will be next Monday, 9 p.m. And, Tim, we told people to write in, and they get a chance to win Tim's money. Now, you've made two selections, I believe. So can you tell us who they are?
Yeah, I can, Rich. The first gentleman was very, very clever. You know, he mentioned right off the bat that the Giants are on an every other year streak, but then mentioned that the Cards are on an every fifth year streak. Guess what? It's that time. Not only do they have math destiny on their side, the team is really good. Bob McCormick, St. Louis Cardinals, we're off and running.
All right, so good luck, Mr. McCormick. Now, Tim, the second one is, believe it or not, those entries came in back-to-back, and the next one goes, I'm going to mispronounce his name. Bob McCormick's easy to say, but Jacob Boehm, he's in one of our Dynasty Leagues, that I know, B-O-E-H-M. And, Tim, what was the thing that caught your eye there?
Well, there was at least half a dozen submissions all stating that the Chicago White Sox are the team. And there were some good ones, but in deciding, I like the White Sox this year. I believe they're at 20-1 right now. I like that number, and I like the team. I think they've made enough improvements this off season that they're going to be in the hunt. And what I did was I took a look and I read through all of the submissions from the White Sox, and the only gentleman who mentioned my hero and one of my favorite players heading into this year, actually was last year as well, was Jacob, when he mentioned how good Avisail Garcia is going to be. So what I did was, out of all the White Sox entries we received, he was the only one to mention Avisail Garcia. I like Garcia. So, Jacob, it's you and me and the White Sox for the World Series.
So we've got Bob McCormick and $100 down on the St. Louis Cardinals, and you've got the White Sox $100 down on the White Sox. Is that the way I'm supposed to play it, Tim?
That is the way, Rich. And may good fortune shine upon us, gents. It's a long season. Let's hope for a repeat of 2014.
Tim, I think out of both of those, that St. Louis pick, that feels pretty good to me.
Yeah, it does. And like I say, he caught a couple other people mentioned the Cards, but it was that fifth year thing, eh? And I thought, hey, but every other worked real good last year, and this guy was smart enough to, you know, do some calculating and figuring it out. And yeah, I like the Cards. They've got a good team, and I also like the White Sox.
I do too, Tim, but I mean, have they done enough? I mean, the Samardzija pickup is good. I guess if Chris Sale is healthy, they got two really good pitchers at the start of the rotation, and then David Robertson closing things off. And did they add enough offense to help Jose Abreu out?
Yeah, I think they did. I like Adam LaRoche. I like Melky Cabrera. If Adam Eaton is healthy at the top of the order, Adam Eaton can do a great job at the top. Throw in Avisail Garcia. And, you know, we didn't even mention Jose Quintana, who I think is a number three, is a very good pitcher.
Yeah, absolutely, Tim. So good luck to Bob and Jacob. And, Tim, I guess at about, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, 9 months, as long as it takes to gestate a baby, we will find out if you're the big winner.
Well, yeah, and hopefully one of these teams will be our baby.
There you go. Okay, guys, let's get started off, Tim. We've got some listener questions, and they're really, really good questions here. And I'm going to start off there before I get to the ones I gave you, Tim. Another one came out on my site. And I get literally hundreds of them on a weekly basis. Let me just read this to you, and it's actually relatively disturbing. That's the reason I wanted to share that with you. Now, where did it go? Oh my goodness, I can't. Oh, here it is. All right, here it is. It's from Matthew Smith, 19 hours ago, Tim.
Okay.
Love the podcast. I drive a lot for work, so I pick random episodes and re-listen throughout each work week while I'm out on the road. Very informative stuff. Keep up the great work. So we're going to stop right there, Tim.
Okay,
I really feel bad
good.
For Matthew. I feel very bad for Matthew, Tim. I know our show, I like our show a lot, and I get a lot of feedback on it, but you got to go back and he's listening to old episodes, really? I mean, I'm not sure that's healthy, Tim.
Well, have you ever watched reruns of Hogan's Heroes? F Troop.
Oh, absolutely, Tim. I have.
Beverly Hillbilly. Yeah.
I tell you, Tim, we're not that good. we're not Colonel Klink and Hogan for sure.
Oh man, you're shattering a dream here, Rich. You really are. That hurts.
Well, Matthew, we appreciate you listening to multiple old episodes, but man, Tim, you drive for work. Do you listen to? What do you actually listen to? You're all over the place, being up in the tundra land up there. So you've got to go between places to sell your products and to do all kinds of stuff. So what are you listening to in your truck as you're tolling along there?
Here's my cheap plug for US radio. KQDS out of Duluth, Minnesota is my regular listen. 70s rock.
Wow. 70s rock. So Tim, you're listening to music, not listening to podcasts. You're not getting a serious radio, listening to CNBC and the business reports, or and you're listening to 70s rock music.
Yeah, I want to mellow out and enjoy the trip. that's what I do is I usually have the 70s rock just a cranking, and I'm trying to pay attention to avoid wildlife.
Sure. Now, 70s rock, is that how old 70s stuff is? Is that like Doobie Brothers kind of stuff, old Foghat, or is that more British rock? I mean, what are some of the stuff they play?
It's an FM station. It's pretty well standard. A lot of Bob Seger, a lot of who do I hear all that? Actually, Foghat, Fool for Your Love, it's got to be on it. Got to be on at least once a day. good call
Slow
on
ride.
That one. Slow Ride, yes. No, it's pretty well everything from the 70s, mostly from the rock genre.
Wow. Okay, awesome, Tim. Here's this question, though. Do the Pirates go with Alvarez at first base this season, all season, or do they take a chance like they're doing with Kang at shortstop? Tim, I don't know if that's actually true. I want your opinion on that as well. And give Josh Bell a shot instead. Now, Josh Bell being converted from the outfield to the first base because there's nowhere for him to play. Alvarez on his walk year, Tim, moved from third base to first base. Does he play there the whole year?
Oh, well, don't they have a platoon situation sitting there, Rich?
Do you think they're going to platoon Alvarez? Really? You don't think he's going to get the full run there?
No, I'm just going to take a quick gander here because didn't they just sign somebody? Reynolds maybe? No, not Reynolds. That was St. Louis.
No, Reynolds is St. Louis or is he in Milwaukee, Tim? This is so hard when there's so many players that have been brought on. I'm looking as well as we talk. Tim, this is fantastic radio. This is why Matthew listens to things multiple times. So I got first base, Pedro Alvarez, Corey Hart, Tim. Corey Hart's the backup first baseman. So it doesn't feel like Josh Bell is going to get a chance, but he could get a chance next year as Pedro Alvarez will clearly move on. But what about Kang versus Jody Mercer? Who's playing shortstop?
I think it's Mercer. A lot of people seem to think that Kang's got the inside track. I don't think he does. I think he's going to have an absolutely huge spring to take that job away from him. I really do. So I'm in on Mercer right now.
Okay, so a no on Bell, and I think a no on Kang as well, even though Matthew didn't ask that question as well. So, and I think from a prospect standpoint, I think Bell needs a little bit more seasoning. Pittsburgh Pirates definitely take their guys very, very slow. They will play the Super 2 status, which means you will not see Josh Bell probably until June 15th of 2016, Tim. That would be my suggestion and my guess as to when you see him. I don't think you see him this year at all. And Alvarez gets most of the run there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, Rich. When was the last time the Pirates brought somebody up early? It just doesn't happen, and they won't do it for Josh Bell, especially with him learning a new position. So, you know, hey, the best case scenario would be June, but I tend to think September, cup of coffee time.
I agree with you. Everything except, especially with him changing positions, Tim, it's all about money with the Pirates. It doesn't matter how if the guy changed position the day before last. I mean, they are going to wait until it's advantageous for them to bring up guys. They're following these rules, Tim, and I guess the Pirates just don't have the kind of money. But quite frankly, what have they made the playoffs now? Is it 2 years running? So they must be doing something right.
Well, yeah, but at some point in time, I think their fans deserve a little bit more than, well, yeah, we made the playoffs. Like, maybe ramp it up going into the playoffs so you can take a run rather than being one and done.
Yeah, agreed, Tim. Second one from Darlene. Tim, if you were a female and write into my site, you tweet at us, you get your question read. Easy, well done. That's just the way it is. Darlene says, my husband and I love your podcast. You and Tim are great. I need some help with a keeper league, 16-team head-to-head league. I keep 4+1 NA prospect, I guess not available prospect or something. Anyway, Buxton's her prospect. So she's got to pick 4 from the following list, Timmy. Paulie Goldschmidt, Ian Desmond, Joey Votto, Brian Dozier, Madison Bumgarner, Jordan Zimmerman, or Jeff Samardzija. Now, Tim, usually in head-to-head leagues, many times pitchers are a little bit more advantageous to keep. I will say that. Which 4 are you keeping?
Okay, well, when I look at this list, well, the one thing I would like to know, Darlene, and, you know, I really appreciate the question, but I'd like to know, are you and your husband in the same league? And if so, do you kick his butt in that one? Could you follow up on that one for us, Darlene?
I'm appreciate... sure she's listening. She is listening because I told her we were going to do the question, so I'm sure she will write back.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, I want the full, I want all the dirt here, eh? You know, husbands and wives playing in the same league, that doesn't happen all that often. But getting back to the prospects, when I look at them, basically, Goldschmidt and Ian Desmond, check, check. And then I would go with two starting pitchers. I'd go with Bumgarner and Jordan Zimmermann. I like both of them. I think Zimmermann doesn't get nearly as much love as he should. He's going fifth round in a lot of mocks early on, and I think he snuck in fourth or fifth in labor. I'd have to check it out. But I like both of those pitchers combined with those two bats, and I'd leave the rest for the draft.
So you left Joey Votto on the board, Tim. Is that because you already picked Paul Goldschmidt, because there seems to be a little bit of value sitting at 76, Tim, on the draft board, I think, with Joey Votto. He is going, though, after Ian Desmond. So is that was that the thinking there?
No, I can't pronounce his name right, so I was just avoiding him, Rich.
No, Tim, you do pronounce his name right because you're Canadian. He's Canadian, so you can call him. You have the right to pronounce his name the way you want to.
Yeah, true enough. You know, I just looked. You've only got four keepers, okay? And, hey, I think there's a bounce back due for Votto this year. But, you know, when you compare him to Goldschmidt, no, you're only going to keep one of those two first base types. And Goldschmidt, that's a no-brainer. And Ian Desmond at shortstop, you know, the position isn't overly filled with depth. And you know, he's a five-category guy in the middle infield, so I'm all over him.
I cannot disagree with anything you just said, Tim. Those will be my four as well. We go on, Tim. MB, now you already responded via Twitter, but I did want to get your thoughts on this, Tim. You trading Devin Travis for Micah Johnson in the Dynasty League. Now, both of those guys potentially will see playing time in the respected organization. Tim says, no, I like Travis in Toronto. I actually picked Micah Johnson just because I think there's more upside because of the speed element. Tim, why do you like Devin Travis so much in Toronto?
Because right now the Jays have Ryan Goins penciled in at second base, and we all know, hey, he might be a heck of a nice guy, but Ryan Goins is not an everyday major league second baseman, Rich. I think it's a relatively short period of time, and we see Travis called up, and, you know, 358 OBP, 16 stolen bases last year, 10 homers, 52 RBIs at AA. I don't think he's going to post any huge numbers in any one category, but I think he's going to be up early, and I think he's going to be a solid all-round balanced player. My concern with Johnson is that he's a one-trick pony. He is all speed and nothing but, and in his minor league career, his success rate is 73.5%, Rich. That doesn't overwhelm me.
Yeah, he's got wheels, though, Tim. Once he figures out how to steal bases, maybe Jose Reyes can help him out a little. Not Jose Reyes. Where's he going? He's in the White Sox. So I don't know who can help him out there, Tim, but it is all about technique because the guy's got speed to burn. I'm looking here at Roto-World, Tim, just looking at the depth chart. And I'm noticing Justin Smoke is the number one guy on the depth chart for first base, and Chris Colabello is number two. Who are the Blue Jays going with at first base? I thought it would be E5, right? But why isn't E5 listed? He's listed as their designated hitter. What's going to happen there? Is Edwin Encarnacion going to be playing first base? Is Justin Smoke going to get a run at all?
I think that Smoke's going to get an opportunity, but he's had opportunities before. I think E5 gets the majority of the at-bats there, Richard.
Boy, everybody missed on Justin Smoke, Tim. He looked like a can't-miss prospect coming up. Remember, he was traded multiple times. I think traded for Cliff Lee as well a few years ago and just stunk up the joint. But I bet you once he gets to a more hitter's ballpark, I bet you he plays better, Tim.
Well, you know, he's going to the right park. And you're right. Seattle coveted him enough to trade for him, and now he's in Toronto. Who knows? he did hit 20 homers, if I'm not mistaken. Was it last year or the year before? So the power potential's there. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes down this year.
Tim Martin Down says, hi, keeper league, keep one Bauer, two Alex Wood, Cingrani, or Murphy. Not sure which Murphy that is. I'm weak on pitching and not competing this year. So, Tim, I think it comes down to Trevor Bauer, Alex Wood, or I guess Cingrani would be out of those three. Who are you keeping? I'm probably keeping Trevor Bauer. I've never been a huge fan of Alex Wood. I still think Trevor Bauer's got potential. He overthinks everything, Tim, and he's got a little bit of Tim Lincecum in terms of a little guy who has a power arm, and it's a very fine line in terms of how good he'll be long-term, but I kind of like him better than Alex Wood. What are your thoughts?
I had Bauer at number two. I think right now Alex Wood has earned number one on that list. He's got the numbers. He's, you know, he's young and he's supported them. I understand the concerns about the mechanics, but so far so good. I think right now he is the better of the two. Bauer could exceed that down the road, but if I had to make a decision right now, I'd go with Wood and take my chances.
What Murphy do you think he's talking about? Daniel Murphy, David Murphy? Is there a pitcher Murphy, Tim, I'm not thinking about?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Tom Murphy? I don't know.
There's Murphy Oil on the East Coast, but that's not it either.
That's true.
I would have to think it's probably our second baseman in New York, and I just discounted that one right from the list, Rich.
All right, so Tim's got Wood. I've got Bauer on that one, Martin. So pick who you feel is the smarter player, which would be Tim. So I'd go Alex Wood, but when he sucks up, don't come crying to me. There you go. Holtie 85. I have an unrelated follow-up for you, Tim. Would you burn a number one waiver claim on Betances? Now, Tim, it's kind of a strange question, and I maybe I care about your answer here. I don't know if I care about my answer, but I want to know, does he get the Dylan Betances, does he get the first crack at the closing gig? Because I think if he does and you need saves, then, yeah, you burn a waiver wire on.
Well, yeah, it's sort of a, you know, do you burn a number one waiver pick right now? No. If he's got the job, yes. But, you know, Girardi announced, there was an article, I can't remember where it was, but and, you know, he hasn't ruled out the possibility of a co-closer role with Andrew Miller. Isn't that wonderful news?
Yeah, I can't believe that, Tim. They've never done that. Well, I guess it's been Rivera, for so long, and then David Robertson for right. 1 year, and I guess Soriano for 1 year. So they really haven't had, you know, the need to have a co-closer. I think that's a mistake. I think it's Betances. I mean, he's guy can get you 100 strikeouts anyway.
Yeah, I would like to think it's Betances as well. But, you know, until we see what shakes down, that possibility is always there. And Andrew Miller has said that, yeah, he wants to close. So there's a legitimate competition happening there. And my answer is until we get a defined situation as far as the rules are concerned with those two players, I wouldn't burn the waiver wire on them. I'd pass.
Sound advice, Tim. Sound advice. The fifth question, Tim, is the best question absolutely of the week. I love this question. How would you rank Betts, Polanco, and Yelich? Now, we've done a Betts, Polanco kind of rank before. You said, and I guess I agree with you, in 2 or 3 years it's Polanco, then Betts. For this year, it's Betts and Polanco. But what about Yelich? Where does Yelich fit into that triumphant of three? And would you deal Yelich for Polanco? Tim, how would you answer that question?
If I owned Yelich and I could keep these, but I'm assuming we can keep these players indefinitely, Rich. We have to make some sort of an assumption, right?
Yep, let's make that assumption.
Okay. I would deal Yelich for Polanco. I wouldn't hesitate to make that move. My ranking is Polanco, Yelich, and Betts in that order. And I'm looking at over the next 5 years, we'll say.
Tim, I'm going to surprise you a little bit. It is, for me, it's Polanco 1 over the next 5 years. It's Betts 2, and it's a pretty substantial drop to Yelich. I think in that Marlins stadium, I think the power is going to be less than 20 home runs. I don't think He's going to lose speed as he goes along. And I think by 3 or 4 years out, you could be looking at an 18 home run guy and, you know, a kid that's getting 10, 12 stolen bases. I love the batting average. And I think it's a guy that could go to first base as well, right? I don't think he's long for the outfield. So that's my worry about Yelich long-term in the keeper league.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I can't argue with that. I think you could look at these three players, and they're all great young players. I wouldn't be surprised if Betts is number one 5 years down the road. It could be Polanco. It could be Yelich. You know, when Yelich gets to the stage where Miami decides he's costing them too much money, where does he end up? If he ends up in the right park, who knows what could happen? So all three of them are top-tier talent, as far as I'm concerned, young talent. So nothing would surprise me. And as far as Betts, yeah, hey, who knows? He could be, if everything breaks right, he could be a top 20 pick next year if he has an explosive year.
It's interesting with Polanco, Tim, and I've been all in on Polanco for a while now. I mean, that is a funky swing, though. I mean, it's a long swing. It's a golf swing, a highly levered swing. He's got all the talent in the world, but this swing mechanics really need some work. And I question how well that swing is going to work until he can shorten it up a little bit and get a little bit of that Daryl Strawberry-ish out of it, right? Because it does have that long sweeping lefty swing, which I don't know, Tim. That's going to be prone to a lot of strikeouts and I think a lower batting average. If he can straighten that up a little bit, Tim, the speed and the power are going to be ridiculous.
Well, yeah, and he's young enough that's something if Pittsburgh identifies as a concern, I'm sure they will work on it.
The guy who wrote a question in last week, Tim, he gets back on it again. D, what did we call him, Bacetich?
Yeah, I think it was Bacetich, yeah.
Bacetich, okay. Need for Abreu, Freeman, Longo, Fielder, Kinsler, Reyes, Gordon, Dozier, Chris Davis, Cespedes, or Mesoraco, Tim, all in last year. So I guess that means he was all in last year. I guess so. He had a chance to win. I don't know if he won or not. He needs four out of these, Tim. I think it's definitely Jose Abreu in there as well. I'm going to put my four and let you go. I'm going Jose Abreu. I'm going to go with, I love that Prince Fielder, even though it's two first bases. I'm going to take that. I'm going to go with Jose Reyes. And I'm going to go with the guy that I know you're not going to go with. And I'm going to go with Longo. Those are my four, Tim.
rich. I read this one to say that this is the last year he can have these guys.
Oh.
Okay. But I don't think it makes a whole lot of difference. I went with Abreu. I went with Reyes. I went with Longo as well, and I went with D. Gordon.
Interesting. So you decided not to go with two first basemen.
Yeah, that was the gist of it was, you know, he's got an opportunity here to have a really, really strong infield. You know, he's covering off second base, shortstop, and third base, and toss in Abreu. I think that's a good mix, and then he... You know, with first base being as deep as it is, then he can go draft Brandon Belt, the next Hall of Famer that we're going to see Hall of Fame career this year, and he's off to the races, right?
Yeah, that's true, Tim. That's a really good point. But I got to tell you, Prince Fielder, if there's a year, Tim, that Prince Fielder blows up in fantasy, I know he's done it before. This could be the year. Texas, he's still relatively young, coming back from injury, should be fully healthy and ready to go. If there's a year he's going to hit 40, and I had to go back and take a look at the history, this is going to be the year, Timmy.
Well, I've invested in a couple leagues, and I'm going to continue to invest in Prince Fielder for exactly that reason. Remember a year or so ago, last year at this time, all we were talking about is how many taters is he going to mash in Arlington this year? Well, you know, if he's healthy, what's changed between last year and this?
Tim, not a whole lot. I'm looking back, 38 was his high point in 2011. So one could argue, no, he did hit 46 as a 25-year-old in 2009. So he's hit that upper crust. But, Tim, it's not been good since 2011. 27 years old, he hit 38. At age 28, he hit 30. At age 29, he hit 25. He is now 31 years old. Tim, I might be rethinking this a little bit now that I look at it a little bit. It's a big, fat guy who's 31 years old, love the ballpark. But a number. Oh, he hit 50 home runs in 2007. Holy cow! I didn't realize he hit 50. This
He
is a
is
guy who's
funny.
on a 3-year streak of decreased power output at 31 years old.
Yes, but he didn't hurt that neck just last year. He's been living with that for 2 or 3 years. And I'm willing to give him full marks for wanting to play through the injury, sucking it up, and finally getting it done. And I think I'm discounting those declining numbers over the past couple of years because I think he was hurt and playing hurt.
Wow. Tim, I'm just marveling at this stat line in 2007 and 9, OPS of 10-13 and 10-14. He struck out 138 times and walked 110 times in 2009 with 46 home runs, 141 RBI, just for good measure, 2 stolen bases. And I think that was the year I had him because he hit a triple on the last game of the year. So go back and take a look at that, Tim. And that triple won me a league. I never forgot it. Prince Fielder, I remember, it was the last game of the and he stole 2 bases that game. That's what it was. He stole 2 bases on that last game of the year in 2009 or 7, one of those years I had him.
Well, I remember that clearly because they had to bring out a bulldozer to rebuild the infield.
Absolutely. Final question, Sean Terrell from Prospect 361. It's keeper decision time. The way my league works is we get to keep 5 players that were originally drafted in our top 20 picks and 6 from a pool of players consisting of low draft picks, free agents, acquisitions, and minor league call-ups. Choose 5 of the following. So, Tim, we're going to do 5, and then you tell me your 5. I'll tell my 5, and then we'll go to the next part of the question. So choose 5 of these. Paul Goldschmidt, yes. Robin Cano, yes. Ian Desmond, yes. So those are 3. And then you got Zach Greinke, Tyson Ross, Yordano Ventura, Joey Votto. A lot of people with Joey Votto questions. And Evan Gattis. Tim, I'm assuming those first 3 are done for you. What about out of the next 5, picking 2 of those?
Well, out of the next five, I'm going. Yeah, I agree. The next 5, I'm going Zach Greinke, and I'm going Joey V.
Wow, I think Tyson Ross, though, Tim, has a chance to be a very special pitcher this year.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think he does as well. That basically came down to a coin toss for me, and Greinke won the toss. It's close.
Yeah, I agree, and it's. You know, it's Tyson. Tyson Ross will be 28 years old at the start of the season. Last year, 2.81 ERA, a 9 strikeout per 9, a 3.31 walk per 9. Tim, home runs reasonable. 195 innings, only 13 home runs. There's a lot to like. Oh, by the way, Tim, pitching for the Padres, a much better team, and obviously Petco Park. So there's a lot to like with Tyson Ross.
Yeah, there certainly is. And one of the other reasons that I only went with one starting pitcher in this group was the fact that I like some of the starting pitchers in the second group. So it's sort of like a combination deal, Rich.
Okay, so he gets to pick 6 out of these, Tim. So really 5 because he's going to keep Anthony Rendon. Congratulations for getting him late. You got number 2, Greg Holland, Devin Mesoraco, Xander Bogaerts, number 5, Chris Carter, Dylan Patantis, number 6, Jacob DeGrom, Marcus Stroman, Michael Wacha, David Wright, and Lucas Duda. Tim, so I'm assuming it's Anthony Rendon. Out of those next 8 or 9, give me 5.
Okay, my 5 are Greg Holland, one of the top 3 closers in the game, the best power-hitting catcher in the game, Devin Mesoraco, Xander Bogaerts. He's going to have a good career. Last year wasn't a good year, but don't be throwing Bogaerts back. And then I'm going with 2 pitchers, Rich. I'm going with Jacob DeGrom and Marcus Stroman.
Yep, there it is. That's the right answer, Tim. That's where I would go. You can't throw the rookie of the year back, Tim, particularly a guy that had that kind of dominating year. We talked about him last week. His sub 3 ERA, even if he bops up almost a half a run, he's still a 3.25 ERA striking out a batter in any. That's a dominating pitcher.
Well, yeah, and you put that whole package together, and he's got a great catcher. He's got first base in the corner covered. His middle infield is covered off. He's got 3 good pitchers, whether or not you go Greinke or Ross, pick your poison, but combined with DeGrom and Stroman, young upside. He can run with this team for a long time, I think, Rich.
I agree. Guys, thanks so much for the questions. I love the questions coming in. We'll continue to do that. Tim, the news of the week is really coming out. I think it's fantastic. Everybody's in the best shape of their life. I see where somebody in Cleveland is reporting that on Jason Kipnis that Cleveland Indians are very, very excited about his physical conditioning. So, Tim, we're starting to hear all this news coming in. We're going to really hear it this week and next week. What do you do when you hear this kind of information?
I think immediately, okay, to Bartolo Colon, and his shape is round, and it's the best round he's ever been in.
Now, Tim, I agree with you. We should, if you're saying basically, we should ignore most of this. But there was one thing that caught my eye this week, and I did write it down as a question. It was on Justin Verlander. The report said he's put on 20 pounds of muscle. Now, Tim, you and I know that 20 pounds of muscle is probably really 15 pounds, and it's probably 5 pounds of muscle and 10 pounds of fat. So let's give him a little bit of that there's some muscle there. But he supposedly looks really good. Tim, it's been 2 years of really poor performance. I looked from Brooks Baseball. 2012, the fastball averaged 95.18. 2013, 94.46. Last year, 93.39. But he also had, remember, he had a core surgery early in the spring, and he started camp late, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm wondering if he ever recovered from that. The question for you is Justin Verlander a bit of a turnaround this year? His ADP is 196. He's the 51st starting pitcher off the board. And believe it or not, he's in front, one pick ahead of Michael Fiers. He's got to be better than Michael Fiers, right?
Well, I don't know if he'll end up being better than Michael Fiers, but he's worth the gamble at that stage of a draft. When you start looking at your, you know, you're looking at what, 13th round, I believe.
13th round, yep.
By that time, you've got, or you should have, the core of your starting pitching. It's already been assembled, okay? You've got at least three, probably four starters. You've got your ace. Everything is set up. If you're going to gamble, why not?
Yeah, I think so, Tim. I think that 13th round feels like really good value. The 51st pitcher off the board, if he has any level of health coming back, it's a gamble I would take. Because quite frankly, Tim, as you're, let's see, that's in a 15-team league, that's your fifth pitcher off the board. There's a chance that you drop him in May if he's not performing.
Well, yeah, let's face it. Once we get rolling, you get the waiver wire, people are going to be called up, yada, yada, yada. You know, I mean, there's lots of options. When you start looking at anything from your fifth starter on, what are the odds that you're going to finish the season with some of these guys? Probably not that good.
Yeah, particularly if it's the fourth or fifth guy off the board. So, Tim, give me a stat line. Last year, 4.54 ERA, a 6.95 strikeout per nine, which is remarkable. This is Justin Verlander, just a couple, 3 years ago, Cy Young striking out 10 per nine. And he's still not walking a whole lot of guys in 2.84 walks per nine. Tim, what is his strikeout ERA and WHIP this year?
I'm going to go with 180 on the strikeouts, an ERA of 3.85, and a WHIP of 130.
So you are looking for a bit of a bounce back then.
Yeah, I am. I think the potential for a small bounce back is there, but I don't think we will ever see the Justin Verlander that we saw a few years ago. Temper your expectations, and as a fourth, fifth starting pitcher, you might find some value there.
Yeah, I'm looking at his innings pitch, Tim, and this could just very well be the problem. He started off in 2007 as a 24-year-old when he finally pitched his first 200-inning season. He has gone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 straight years, Tim, with over 200 innings pitched.
Yeah, that's quite the run, but there are a lot of people in baseball history that have had longer runs and haven't called it a career at the age of 31, have they? It's possible.
I don't know. We'd probably take a look at that, Tim. But, I mean, it's his strikeout rate that's just gotten, has really come down, and his velocity has just gone down as well. I'm hoping with a little bit more health, maybe potentially being in a little bit better shape. I mean, that's why I kind of started off there. I mean, let's say, again, that he is in a little bit better shape. Maybe he gets a a half tick up on his fastball, and all of a sudden everything else plays up.
Well, yeah, it's entirely. Maybe he's been practicing yoga with his girlfriend. Who knows?
Who is his girlfriend, Tim?
Is that Moss?
Kate Moss, is that the one? I don't know.
Yeah, it's some celebrity.
Oh, all right. Well, the one that he did the that commercial with, the MLB 2013 or something, was that the one?
They're saying Kate Upton.
Okay, now, so you got the right first name, but got the wrong last name. So Tactonex is all over it. So I think I'm gonna. By the way, speaking of Tactonex, I need to talk to him about this. I think for the Champions League, Tim, that we're having,
mm-hmm.
there is no money this year because I've gotten cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the winner of the Champions League, they're gonna co-host a show with us.
Well, I think that's excellent. Except I do that every week, Rich.
Oh, Tim throwing down the gauntlet there. But I thought we'd have Tactonex on at least for a couple segments and a couple shows from now, and just to kind of show that trend, see how they do. If Tactonex does terrible, then we'll quit. We'll stop the bit really quickly on the Champions League.
Well, you know, yeah, I think it'd be a great opportunity. Hey, he knows the game. He knows how to play the game. He's a great player, and. You know, at some point in time, you know, maybe I can steal some of his secrets. I got to get this guy back. I got to put him in his place this year, Rich. Like, Tactile, you're going down. It's happening.
There you go. Okay, Tim, here's the next one. James Shields, we've talked about a little bit on Sunday. He does, in fact, sign with the Padres. His ADP is currently 103. He is a 25th starting pitcher off the board. Now, Tim, I've kind of gone through and weeded out the relief pitcher, so this is actually true. The 25th starting pitcher off the board. I guess with the signing in Petco, Tim, you would feel like that's a great boost to his ADP, but a 25 is pretty high to start off with. Does James Shields' ADP go up?
No, I think it sits about right where it is, Rich. You know, you look, he's sitting surrounded by Iwakuma and then Wood, Arrieta, DeGrom. I think he's in about the right spot.
Let me ask you a question, though, Timmy. We talked a lot about Justin Verlander. We just spent 5 minutes waxing poetically about Justin Verlander. If I take a look at James Shields and I take a look at the run of 200-plus innings, started off in 2007, the same as Justin Verlander, and went from 2014. He's had 7 years of 200-plus innings. And you take a look at his strikeout rate, and Tim, it is 7.14 last year, down from 8.82, down from 7.71 the last 3 years. Is James Shields starting, and he's, what, 33 years old? Is James Shields way on the wrong side of 30? Is he just getting worn out? And does he even return 25th pitcher value?
I'm not targeting him, Rich. I'm staying away from Shields this year because I think we're at the stage where we're going to see that natural decline that we see as pitchers age. And you're right, he's not getting any younger. Do I think he's going to be a good pitcher? Yes, but I'm looking at, you know, in this range, I'll take Jacob DeGrom before I'll take Shields because of the K rates. And if I'm going to look at a pitcher, I want some upside, and I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of upside with Shields. I think it's going to be as per what we've seen, with a slight decline possibly.
I think you're absolutely right, Tim. I think it's a sucker pick. I think everybody's going to look at that going to Petco Park, a better San Diego Padres system and team, and think that it's all going to turn around, new league, blah, 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 blah. I think it's a sucker pick. I think we saw something very ugly in the playoffs. I think he was worn out. And I'm scared to death of James Shields this year, Tim.
Well, yeah, I just, like I said, I think he's a fine pick whereabouts he's going, but I'm going to gamble on upside.
Yep, me too. So, Cole Hamels, Tim, let's before we talk about Cole Hamels, do you ever play, and Tim, you've been playing for years, and myself as well, we play in leagues that there's always the owner, particularly in a dynasty league or keeper league, who never trades anybody, Tim, because he's always asking too much for him. So he's got maybe Mookie Betts, and to trade Mookie Betts, No, he's got Matt Holliday and Jonathan Papelbon. Those are the two players he wants. And he wants back Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, Jorge, he's got, and Gregory Polanco, and just a couple of minor leaguers like Archie Bradley. Those are the kind of players he wants back. And nobody ever trades with this. It almost feels like that's what Ruben Amaro has turned into. Cole Hamels, Jonathan Papelbon are still playing for the Philadelphia Phillies. My simple question to you, Tim, is why?
Well, because Ruben hasn't got what he wants, and at this stage of the game, actually, I don't know if this is a smart play or one that he just stumbled and fumbled his way into. At this stage of the game, I think Ruben is better off waiting for the trade deadline, sorting out the pretenders from the contenders, and I think he'll do better 3 months down the road than he will today. So, I think there's a good possibility those guys are with the team until the All-Star break.
Until one of them gets hurt, Tim.
Yes. Well, Hamels has what, 4 years left. He's got time to mend.
Yeah. Tim, I think it's really, really, really dangerous. I mean, with the plethora of Tommy John surgeries and how fragile pitchers are, and we just talked about Justin Verlander. I mean, these guys can fall off a table very quickly. We can go back and take a look at Cole Hamels, how many innings he's pitched over the last few years. The time to get him, Tim, the time to move him is now. He hasn't pitched yet this year. His value is very high. I would be moving him, Tim, and I wouldn't think twice about it. I know they're asking for Blake Swihart, and I know Boston is saying, no, we don't want to do that. Look, they're going to, I like Blake Swihart. They're going to trade Blake Swihart. I mean, come on, make the deal now, Tim. Don't wait and then get burned like the fantasy players that we play with that always wind up in 10th out of 12th place because they held onto their guys too long, looking for the purple unicorn.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think Boston should have made that deal. I think they should have given up Swihart. They're in a situation where they're contending this year, but they've got a pitching staff that won't allow them to do it. At some point in time, Boston is going to have to pay the piper and bring in an ace number two caliber starting pitcher. Hey, I agree. Swihart could be a great player, but at this stage of the game, Boston can buy any great player that they really want. Their system is deep. They've got lots of cash. If they want to win it this year, Boston is going to have to part with some talent. They're not going to get a top-tier starter for nothing. It's just not going to happen.
I agree. So it sounds like both the Red Sox may be unrealistic and so are the Philadelphia Phillies. But I think that all of the risk at the moment is on Ruben Amaro. And if he goes into the season with these two guys pitching full bore, I just think it's a big mistake. And I would love to see him move one, if not both of those guys. Tim, number of losses for the Phillies this year, is it over 100?
No, I think somewhere between 90 and 95. I'm counting on them having Hamels for the first half of the season. So I don't think they'll get to the 100 loss mark this year.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, but I think 95 is a definite possibility. Tim, our strategic topic of the day is involving, we talk about it a lot, Tim, and I spend a lot of time with it because it's one of the few items that we have out there that tells us what the market really is telling us, right? And we go to the NFBC partially because people are paying real money to play in those leagues, and there are about 60 leagues now. And if you've ever done any statistical analysis, Tim, if you get 50, the curve really goes down once you get about 50, a sample size of 50, which is pretty remarkable. So they tell presidential elections with not very many people, but if you actually work through the math of statistical sampling, once you get to about 50, the regression analysis really flattens out after that. So 50 is a pretty good number. So we're looking at that from the NFBC and thinking that's a pretty good ADP. So that's why we do it. And I was criticized, and it was a nice review on iTunes that said, Rich seems to rely heavily on ADP in conversations. With so many league configurations and scoring systems, they would be better served talking straight baseball info with their gut instincts and letting the listeners decide which info is better for their league, the individual leagues. Now, Tim, that's a fair criticism, but I think we should still talk about it. Do you think we should stop talking about ADP or should we continue to talk about it?
No, I think we should continue to talk about it. At this stage of the game, we don't have any drafts. We need there needs to be some sort of a guideline, some semblance of order, some list that we can look at that gives people an idea of where players are going. My big problem and concern with ADPs is when people look at ADPs and say, oh, this is how I should draft. Well, no, ADPs are a rough guideline. When you get into the real deal, you will be very, very surprised at what happens in that draft versus the ADPs that hopefully you're not basing your draft around.
I totally agree with you, Tim. And, you know, I get the different league formats. In fact, I was talking with one person, I think it was on my site, maybe Twitter, don't remember. And he was talking about where would he slot into, I think it was a 15-team league, no, a 12-team league. And he can pick his KDS, so he's going to be able to pick whatever slot he wants the draft in. And I said, I kind of like either one or later in the draft. And maybe pick up an Altuve Rendon and then come back around and get some power. And then you write back, well, I forgot to tell you, it's a 6x6 league, rotisserie, and that 6 category is slugging. Well, all of a sudden you look at that, and it changes the whole, I mean, all of a sudden Jose Altuve is not a first-round draft pick. He's probably barely a second-round draft pick, and Anthony Rendon probably drops down to the second round. So I get the criticism in the iTunes review that it is very specific about league, but, Tim, it does get a chance to talk about us players relative to one another. And then we can talk about why one player is more equipped than the other player. And then I think the listeners can make their decision based on that.
Well, yeah, like I said, my big concern with ADPs is, you know, hey, they are what they are. You know, you get into a league draft. I'll just give you a quick example. Right now, I think Gerrit Cole is going somewhere around the, sixth, seventh round. Does that sound about right, Rich?
I believe so. If you keep talking, I will tell exactly where he's going.
Okay, well, he's going somewhere in that range. I'm incredibly bullish on Gerrit Cole this year. I like Gerrit Cole, as I know you do as well, Rich. I'm not waiting until the sixth, seventh round to draft Gerrit Cole. I'm drafting Gerrit Cole in the fifth round. I think it's very, very important that you use these as a rough guideline. But if you believe in a player and you're convinced he is going to substantially outperform his draft slot, you don't wait to grab players like that. You grab them. And I don't think that's a reach. I think it's just a pick based on your assessment of what that player's abilities are.
I think that's brilliantly said, Tim. And Gerrit Cole is the 28th pitcher off the board. I didn't determine starting pitchers. He's probably around the 25th pitcher. Tim, his ADP is number 90. So if you want him, you've got to take him in the top of the sixth round, or if you're worried and you're picking in the, and this is a 15-team league, you need to pick him up, you know, 10th, 11th, 12th pick of the fifth round just to make sure you have him. So you take him around early, and that's part of the reason that we talk about ADPs. You don't sit there and go, I got to get him at the 90th pick because that is his value. That's not the way you look at it. It's his relative value. But if you like a player a little more, Tim, it's nothing wrong with taking him around too early.
Well, no. In the first industry draft that kicked off this past week, I saw Starling Marte and Billy Hamilton go in the second round. Both of the people drafting obviously have very strong beliefs, and that's way above their ADP. But at this stage of the game, if somebody believes in a player and wants to have them, you got to make a move. You can't wait for and hope these guys fall to you.
I took Starling Marte in the NFBC draft. I think I took him. I had the number one pick, Tim, so I took him as the first pick in the third round. And part of the reason I did that, which was early, there was no way he was coming back to me. And I took a look at everybody in there, and I said, I think the upside and the value and how I'm constructing my team is I really want Starling Marte in that spot. So I took him 7, 8, 9 picks early, but there's no way he would have come back around to me. So sometimes you have to make those calls depending on where you're drafting from as well.
Yeah, I agree. If you want a player and he ain't coming back to you and you know it, go out and buy him. Take care of it.
It's funny. It's I remember when Patrick DiCaprio used to have his show, and Tim, he just gave it up, whatever that thing was called. I didn't particularly care for the show, but I always liked Patrick DiCaprio. Very, very smart guy. He would dismiss ADP totally. And he said, well, gee, if I like Starling Marte and I think he's a great value, then I pick him in the first round. And That made no sense to me. You have to use ADPs, Tim, as what the market is telling you. And if market is telling you that Starling Marte is a middle of the third, top of the fourth round pick, you don't pick him in the first round. You try to gauge what's the latest I think I can buy him. And sometimes you take a look at that other column that says what's the earliest he's been picked, and you use that as a bit of a gauge. You have to use mathematics a little bit to try to figure out when should I buy him.
Well, sure, and as you progress through a draft and you start shaping your team, your needs might be very, very different from what the old ADP is saying. You might have a ton of power early and you're looking for speed. All of a sudden, those speed guys become a lot more important to your team and your team construction than maybe the best power bat out there. So there's a lot of variables that come into play.
Yeah, I'm looking at Starling Marte, and his minimum pick, Tim, somebody really liked him in the NFBC. He got picked at number 19. So if I really want Starling Marte on my team, I take a look at 19. I go, boy, that's just too rich for me.
Right.
I really want him, and I think that his ADP is 37, which is at the, in a 15-team league, that's towards the back of the third round. If I want him, it's just like we talked about before. I got to get him at the top of the third round, and that's where I took him, which was 7.99 spots too early. Totally happy with it. Did it. I thought I used ADP very intelligently there, Tim, because I believed in Starling Marte. Could be completely wrong on Starling Marte, but that was the logic I used.
Well, the bottom line is you have him valued at a certain level. He's very important to your team construction. You wanted him on your team. Hey, you went and got him. Well done.
Tim, we're going to bypass our crystal ball segment that we had this week because we're running a little short on time. So let's get into some outfielders. You ready?
Yes, I've got the 5 pages of draft grid sitting right in front of me, Rich.
It is remarkable, Tim. I'm looking at the number one pick, Mike Trout. His ADP is 1. His minimum is 1. His maximum is 1. I don't think and this is with 62 drafts. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
No, at some point in time, somebody will take Clayton Kershaw just to destroy a couple of those numbers, Rich.
It is remarkable, Tim. That is just the best player in the league. Now, we're not going to spend much time on Mike Trout, but the strikeouts were crazy bad last year, crazy high. He's swinging for the fences. His speed is not what it was. Tim, I don't have a stat line in front of me. I will bring that up as you answer this question. He is definitely, if you have the number one draft pick, you have to take Mike Trout. Is there a chance, Tim, that Mike Trout is not the best fantasy player this year?
Yeah, there's a good chance. There's also a chance that somebody that you know fairly well doesn't take Mike Trout with the first pick, Rich. When you look at pitching,
interesting.
And you...
No, let me. I know 5 people really well. I know Marcus Potter really well. I know my wife really well. I know my 2 children really well, and I know you really well. Tim, would it be you who might not take Mike Trout number one?
Right now, I'm testing for the tote draft that's coming up on March 10th, and I have taken Clayton Kershaw several times in the number one spot just to see how things shake down, and I haven't made a decision as to which way I'm going to go. The spread between Clayton Kershaw and the next best pitcher, any way you wish to to calculate, which is Felix Hernandez, is absolutely monstrous. If I can find a way to take Kershaw and build a team with solid second and third picks at the wheel, I haven't ruled it out yet, Rich.
So, Tim, let's just talk a little bit about Mike Trout. I'm looking at his stat line. So, in his rookie year, 30 home runs, 49 stolen bases, struck out 139 times and 559 at-bats. I don't have the plate appearances here. Second year, pretty much similar. 27 home runs, 33 stolen bases, 136 strikeouts, 110 walks. You like that. Here's what he did last year. Same number of at-bats, 602, so right in line with everything. 36 home runs, so a few more home runs. 111 RBIs, you love that. 184 strikeouts, 16 stolen bases, Tim. So he's gone 49, 33, 16. He's clearly got more bulk. He's clearly swinging for the fences. He's not getting on base nearly as much as he did. He was at 377 last year. Tim, It doesn't feel good to me for Mike Trout. I know he's only 23 years old, but that trend does not look good.
Well, no, but he's also only 23 years old. What happens this year if he decides, I really don't need 38 home runs. I only need 28. And, hey, what the heck? Let's see if I can steal 30 bases this year. The sky's the limit for Trout. I think Trout can do whatever. The only limitations on Mike Trout are the ones that he puts on himself. He's that
Tim, what if he does this year, which I think is possible, what if he does, let's call it 40 home runs, and, you know, again, strikes out, you know, 27% of the time, whatever it is, and bats 265, 270, steals 15, 16 stolen bases. That's a reasonable stat line if he continues. Would we then begin to think for next year, 2016, that all of a sudden what we see with Mike Trout is he's become basically a power guy who's swinging for the fences now, and he's no longer, you can no longer count on those 30 stolen bases?
Yeah, I think if we see a couple years back to back, yeah, I think then you have a little bit more than a trend. But he's still so young, Rich. Who knows what's going to happen there? You know, somebody said he stole 16. You know, he stole 16 bases last year. Does that mean he can't steal 30 this year?
I think he can, Tim. The question is, does he want to? Does Socia want him to do that, or is he saying, look, you're batting number three? I'm expecting you to drive in runs. Look at it, Tim. 97 RBIs 2013, 111 RBIs 2014. I'm wondering if Socia and the Angels have said, look, this is the role we want you in. We want you to be driving in runs. We don't want you out there taking extra bases, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you can hurt yourself by, you know, trying to steal bases. I think that's what I worry about in all of this. And I think if we see another gear with mid-teen kind of stolen bases, I'm going to say, boy, those elite stolen bases are gone forever.
Yeah, and if they are gone forever and he can hit 40 home runs and drive in 120 and score 110 with a 270 batting average, that still makes him a good, solid top five pick, right?
Absolutely, Timmy, absolutely. But I think you've got, you know, everybody fills in a spreadsheet, even the great Tim McLeod, and you've got to pencil in how many stolen bases you want as you're constructing your team, and you pick Mike Trout number one. I don't think you can put more than 20 stolen bases this year for Mike Trout.
No, I'm working with 15 to 20 stolen bases. Anything over and above that falls into the bonus category.
Totally agree. Let's finish up these top 10, Tim. Giancarlo Stanton, number two, ADP of 3.58. Andrew McCutchen, with an ADP of 3.82, the number three guy off the board. Carlos Gomez finally getting the love he deserved now for the last couple of years, ADP of 7.47. Jose Bautista, 11.02, number five spot. Adam Jones dropping, but he's still coming in as a first-round draft pick at 14.68. Then we've got Michael Brantley out of nowhere last year with an ADP of 20. Jacoby Ellsbury with 21, Ryan Braun coming into the ninth spot with 26, and then Yasiel Puig, Justin Upton, Bryce Harper, my buddy Starling Marte, Tim, let me just finish this group up here as well, George Springer, Matt Kemp, Billy Hamilton, Corey Dickerson, Carlos Gonzalez. Those are the top 18, Tim, that takes us down through the fourth round. Break it down a little bit for me. First of all, those first grouping of there from Trout to Adam Jones all belong?
Yeah, that first group is all there. Actually, I would go as far as the top nine, Rich. They're all just about where they belong, I believe.
Ryan Braunton, we've talked about him. I know you took him in that very, very early draft. I think you went, did you go Trout, Braun, and Fielder? Was that how you did it?
No, I had the number two slot, so I ended up with McCutchen, Braun, and Fielder.
Talk to me more about Braun. Tim, you're still feeling good about him. And last year was not a Ryan Braun year. He was injured. He was supposedly clean off of the PEDs.
Yeah, no, the big concern with Ryan Braun is that thumb, and all indications are at this point in time that that is behind him. If that's behind him and you can find a way to get Ryan Braun towards the back end of the second, early third round, I like it, and I like it a lot because, hey, the days of, I think I've mentioned before, 30 stolen bases are behind him, but 10 to 15 stolen bases, 25-plus home runs, 100 RBIs, that's a real player, Rich.
Yeah, Tim, and again, the strikeouts have stayed about the same. So I think the batting average, which I doubt he hits 300 again unless he gets an outrageous batting average of balls in play, it's probably still 270, 280. And I do believe it's 25-plus home run. So I think it's a fine player and somebody that you can get, you know, at the tail end of the second round. I do like that. Michael Brantley, Tim, had his big breakout season. That's the one name in there that I'm just not sold on. I don't know if I take him in the second round.
Well, I think you have no choice if you want him. And based on what he did last year, yeah, he earned it. I'm bullish on Brantley. I think he can repeat those numbers. So I don't have any qualms about taking him where he's going right now.
Yeah, he's just 28 years old. He'll be turned 28 in the middle of May. Everything is pretty dead on, Tim. It's just a remarkable season. 56 strikeouts, 52 walks, and 611 at bats. So it's probably close to 700 plate appearances. So you're talking an elite contact rate, a walk rate of 8-9%. I mean, that's a really, really good hit tool. It was the power that really came up from the single digits, 10 home runs in 2013 to hit 20. So I think if the power continues to come, Tim, it's probably a first-round draft pick next year.
Well, yeah, and it's not like he's not heading into his peak power years, Rich. When I look at the top 20 picks, the guy that really concerns me, and I'm not going to dwell on it any length of time other than to quote his stats, we've got a guy at number 10 who hit 16 home runs, drove in 69, with 11 stolen bases and got benched in a playoff game. And I simply will not pay the price to get those numbers. I know the upside is sky high, but I just can't invest in Yasiel Puig at this time.
Tim, I don't know if you recall last year. I think it was on iTunes, so it'll be in history. And I will look this up next week, Tim, as we're on Monday, just as a reminder, everybody, Monday, 9 p.m. Next week, Eastern Standard Time. We got brutalized because we did not fall in love with Yasiel Puig. We told everybody a second-round pick last year was crazy. How can you do that? Tim, we were absolutely right. Even though he did get off to a good start, Yasiel Puig as a number third-round pick, I'm not doing it, Tim. There's too much risk. I love the athleticism. I love the enthusiasm, but I just don't like the skill set.
Well, no. Give me Justin Upton. Give me Starling Marte. Hey, I think George Springer could go 30-20 this year easily. I'm gonna play around with those guys before I'm going anywhere near Puig. And I hope the kid breaks out. I hope everything comes together and he proves me wrong. But so far, he hasn't.
Totally agree with you, Tim. I do have to question, though, your Justin Upton. Tim, he moves to San Diego. He's a streaky player. He strikes out a ton. He's got the big butt, Tim. Justin Upton, you really like him that much?
I like him. I like him more than Yasiel Puig, yeah.
Okay. Do you like him more than Bryce Harper, Starling Marte, George Springer, Tim, the next three after him?
They're all 31, 32, 38, 43. They're all pretty tight in there, Rich. It amazed me. I actually took and counted the first three rounds tonight, Rich, okay? 45 picks. How many of them were outfielders?
First three rounds, I'm going to say probably 15, a third of them.
18.
Wow, okay.
Nine starting pitchers. Okay, the cumulative total of all the other bats at all the other positions was 18. Grab your first base and grab them quick because they absolutely fly. It's mind-boggling. It really is. If you decide to go late on outfield, I have two words for you: good and luck.
So Tim, last year, I mean, you talk about going outfield early and often. Are you still suggesting that this year? I mean, how many mock drafts have you done? At least a dozen, right?
Yeah, I've done, I think I'm up to 12 or 13, something like that, Rich. I'm not per se saying, you know, you have to make your first four picks outfielders, but by the time you get to about round seven or eight, you better have at least two, quite possibly three. By the time you get into your early teens, it starts to thin out, and if you don't have three or four, it's going to be a fun second half of the draft for you.
Yeah, we will probably not get to all of these names, Tim, so we're going to keep everybody in mystery in terms of that second half list. I'm going to go to number 18 and Carlos Gonzalez. Tim, both you and I blew it on Carlos Gonzalez. We were both all in on Cargo last year. In fact, I took him in multiple leagues as the number one, my number one pick. I think you did as well.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, he's sitting at the end of the fourth round. Tim, that feels like there's value there. Would I be stupid to take Carlos Gonzalez in the fourth round this year?
Not at all, Rich. As a matter of fact, when I look at this list, I will probably take Carlos Gonzalez ahead of the next three bats on the next three outfielders on the board, and that's Corey Dickerson, Billy Hamilton, and Matt Kemp. I don't have any problems with taking him there.
Yeah, I worry about anybody that goes to San Diego, so that's why I'm a little reluctant on Upton and Matt Kemp. You told me George Springer, Tim, is a guy who was strike out a ton, but clearly the speed is there, though he didn't steal a lot of bases when he came up into the major leagues. I just think they held him back a little bit, but it's a guy that's got 30-30 home run potential, but that batting average him is going to kill you.
Well, it depends. What's he going to hit, Rich? Is he going to hit 235, 240?
I think, Tim, if you're really going to be realistic, yeah, that's it. You hope he hits 250, 260. If he does, he's an all-star and probably a second-round pick next year, because that is the name escaped. He used to play for the Cleveland Indians, came back, played for Boston for a year, center fielder, blew out his knees, both of them.
Grady Sizemore.
That's Grady Sizemore in his prime, 30-30 guy batting 250.
Mm. Well, yeah, when you look at batting average today, I remember looking at the numbers, and it just boggled my mind, because you get used to a mindset, and, you know, at one point in time, you needed a 270 batting average, and then maybe 265. Well, last year, if you had a mid-250s batting average, hey, you were in the money. You weren't going to win the category, but you were going to be in probably no worse than mid-pack. So I don't think a 230 to 240 batting average is going to pull you down all that much with batting averages coming down the way that they have.
That's reasonable, Tim. I have a whole list in terms of what your batting averages need to be. Maybe a little later in the show I'll be able to do that. But George Springer, 62% contact rate, 114 strikeouts, and 295 at-bats. But, Tim, 20 home runs in those same 295 at-bats. What was curious, though, was five stolen bases. Only ran seven times. So, clearly, he wasn't running, so I think that will change. I think you're going to see a 20-20 guy for sure. But if you value batting average, Tim, you need to make sure you shore that up. So you're going to have to get – if you go Jose Altuve in the first round, target somebody like a George Springer. That's when you take that wild card, if you've got somebody that can counterbalance that.
Well, exactly. You're not going to be able to take half a dozen 230, 240 batting averages and survive. You're going to need some help there. But I'm a little more bullish than you. I think Springer can go 30-20.
Okay, well, I still maintain he's Chris Young. I think he's a 230 hitter with 30-20 kind of player, which I think is a really, really good player. I think he is fairly valued in the third round. I think that's probably his peak. I don't think he goes much higher than that, just because I think the batting average is not going to be great, but I think that's a really good player. As long as you construct your team right, I think it's good. Tim, we finish off the top 20 with Hunter Pence and Yoenis Cespedes. Tim, out of those top 20, I want you to give me two guys that will not be top 20 players. And one of those guys, I want him to be a top 10 player today, who will drop all the way out of the top 20 for next year.
Out of the top 20, Corey Dickerson.
Okay, that's 17. I agree with that. We didn't really talk about Corey Dickerson. What do you think he does this year?
I think we're going to see a little bit of a decline. You know, when you look at he struggles against lefties. When you look at the home versus road split, it's 110 points on the batting average, Rich. That's huge. It really is. I think Dickerson's definitely being overdrafted. I question whether or not long-term he can even be a full-time major league outfielder. How's that?
I Tim, I think it's a bold statement. He's not on my draft board at all. I don't believe in Corey Dickerson. That was, he finally had the breakout year that I think we thought he could do, but I think it is Colorado induced. And if you take a look at his home away splits, they weren't great, Tim. So if he gets traded out of Colorado, which is a real distinct possibility, I think it's run for the hills.
Yeah, I'd have the same concerns with Charlie Blackmon.
Here's his home road splits, Tim. 363 batting average, 15 home runs in Coors Field. Away from Coors Field, a 252 batting average, 9 home runs, basically a bat split somewhat between the two. That's slugging, 684 at home, 431 on the road.
And then look at his splits, Rich, righties versus lefties.
Righties versus lefties, Tim. 327 as an average against right-handed pitchers with the 21 home runs. Against the lefties, 256 with 3 home runs, granted only 90 at-bats. Smells like potentially a platoon situation to me, Timmy.
That's the same. I'm smelling the same odor as you, Rich.
Okay. So, all right, so that's one. It is young Corey Dickerson. But, Tim, I'm going to say that's cheating because he was number 17. So you got to give me – be bold. Give me one guy way up that you don't think is going to make it in the top 20. There's one guy that's just sitting there waiting to be taken out of the top 20, Tim.
Well, yeah, there's a couple. But, oh, man.
I'm going to take, we talked about him at length. I'm going to take Yasiel Puig. I'm going to say he is a guy that drops out of your top 20. And I'm going to throw another name out there, Tim. This is very, very controversial. I don't know if he'll drop out of the 20, but I think we're going to see a precipitous drop in Adam Jones. I don't think Adam Jones, he swings at everything that eventually catches up to players. I mean, his walk rate is awful. He's got the power. He's lost the speed. Still a great defensive outfielder. He's starting to get older. Tim, I don't think you see him as number 6. I think you see him in the mid-teens next year and dropping. Those are my two.
Yeah, and both good picks. I don't have problems with either one of those. But Puig, for me, is a definite. And unless we see a guy that gets up into the 20 home run, 15 to 20 stolen base, you know, depending on where he's batting in the order, you know, significant runs scored, at some point in time, we're going to see the same thing with Puig as we saw with Bryce Harper, who is down in number 12. You simply can only gamble for so long. And maybe Puig will have that monstrous year. Maybe Harper will have that monstrous year, and it'll catapult them into the top 5. But I'm just not prepared to bet on it.
Who has the better chance of that breakout year, Bryce Harper, Yasiel Puig?
Bryce Harper, and not close.
I agree. Tim, how many days, though, on the DL does Bryce Harper spend?
I'm going to give him one 15-day trip this year, and that's it.
That's my problem with Bryce Harper, Tim. I mean, he guy plays with his hair on fire, and he always is getting hurt.
Well, you know, at some point in time, somebody is going to take, and they're going to walk him out to every part of the outfield wall that he's covering. And they're going to walk him out there, and they're going to show him how far it is from where he stands to a trip to the DL, and hopefully it sinks in.
Yeah, I hope so. So, Tim, I'm looking at, he's on the DL last year in 2014. Think twice. He was on the DL in 2013 and on the DL in 2012. So not that long on the DL in 2012, but definitely the last 2 years have been 352 at-bats and 424 at-bats. That is not good.
No, but, you know, he's one of those guys that has this. He's young, and he has the skills where, you know, I wouldn't be at all shocked to see Bryce Harper, maybe not next year or the year ever, at some point in time, he could hit 40 home runs and drive in 120. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility with his skills.
Tim, I think we've really talked about every one of these top 20 players, and we're starting to run out of time, so I'm going to start to wind it down. But just from our listener who said he wants us to spend more time on each individual player, we didn't talk a lot about Billy Hamilton, except you don't seem all that high on Billy Hamilton. Tell me about your thoughts on Billy Hamilton this year.
Well, my problem with Billy Hamilton is you can't steal first. And when you get to first, you should be able to steal more bases with a higher success rate than what he's shown. You know, there's speed scattered throughout the draft at various levels. You can buy it early in Altuve. You can buy it in the mid rounds with, you know, players like Alcides Escobar. There's speed all over the place. I just can't see investing, a third-round pick, fourth-round pick in Billy Hamilton, who at this stage of the game, simply to me, doesn't warrant it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Tim. It is fascinating. 56 stolen bases, but 23 caught stealing. And Tim, that's an awful percentage.
Well, yeah, and you know what? I watched this kid in Arizona, okay, and I watched him turn a simple bunt into a triple. And I looked at how quick he got out of the batter's box to third base, and it was like, wow. There was like a hush over the crowd. It was absolutely amazing. Like, there's no doubt that he has world-class speed. He's the fastest player in the game, I would say. But somewhere along the line, it hasn't translated as of yet into much more than what, 65-70% success rate? That's not good.
Yeah, 70%, 70.8 last year. And Tim, if you recall, remember that September remarkable thing in 2013, 13 of 14 stolen bases. So there's no way his speed has declined. So I don't know if he just got cocky, Tim, like, hey, I can steal anything, let me just go off and do it. But, you know, what's going to happen? He's running them at the top of the lineup. He's running them out of a lot of innings. So that's, they've got to make some adjustments in there. And I think they're probably going to sit him down and go, dude, you got to learn to steal bases better. You got to learn to time the pitcher a little bit better, because everybody knows you're stealing. They're waiting for you.
What was his OBP last year? Did he get to 300?
Tim, he did not. 292. He actually had six home runs, so he's actually had a slugging at 355, which might be his high watermark for his entire career. So, but it's if you're batting leadoff, Tim, you can't have an on-base percentage of 292. You can't have it.
No, 320, 330, yeah, you can live with that. But 290 is not going to cut the mustard long-term. It really isn't. Something's got to give there. And, you know, I'm not prepared with the stolen bases, you know, being scattered throughout the many rounds of a draft. I'm just simply not prepared to commit to an all-in on Billy Hamilton at this stage.
Well, Tim, we've done the first 20. We have 100 to go, so we will do the next 100 outfielders next week. We'll go through them a little bit quicker, but I wanted to do those top 20 just because I know how bullish you are on outfielders and the importance of getting those guys. We're going to talk about some people that we can get later on, the Mookie Betts and Rosny Castillos of the world. I want to talk about some of the young guys that are coming up, the Polancos. We're going to talk all of that next week. Tim, you good?
I am always good, Rich. I'm looking forward to Monday night. I can sit at home Sunday night and have a nice supper and maybe do two mock drafts instead of one. And away we go. I did have one comment I wanted to make, or one observation, Rich, if this is okay.
Oh.
Okay, Valentine's Day, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting at my computer, okay, and I'm plugging away, and I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at that, and this was Saturday the 14th, and at 6 o'clock, I got an email from you, and I'm thinking to myself, are we just old? It's Valentine's Day, and at 6 o'clock, I'm looking up baseball stats, and you're sending me emails. What's happening to us, Rich? Where is it going here?
I know. Well, I do have, so everybody don't think I'm a complete unromantic kind of guy. My wife and I, her birthday is actually the 17th, Tim, so is that tomorrow? No, it's on Tuesday. So we're, in fact, because of the show, we were going to go out to dinner tonight. I said, no, let's go out to dinner on Monday night. So dinner's all planned. Gifts are bought and so forth. So for our entire 30 years of marriage, Tim, and a couple of years before that, we've always celebrated Valentine's Day and her birthday together as one. And it's usually somewhere in the middle, closer to her birthday. So there is zero expectation from her, which is great for me, on doing anything necessarily on Valentine's Day, because you can't get a dinner reservation anywhere. You can't buy flowers. It's just it's a Hallmark day, Tim. So that's why we don't do a whole lot.
Okay. No, I was like I said, I just thought about that real quick, and I thought, here we are talking baseball, doing baseball on Valentine's Day. We must have the two most understanding patients and loving wives in the world, correct?
Absolutely, Tim. So, and I made sure I told my wife that. So, Tim, before we get off the air, let's tell us, tell everybody what you've got going on. You're busy at Patton and Company, I know.
Yeah, I'm plugging away over there, posting comments. I believe their dollar values are coming out this Monday, so that's for those especially playing in single format leagues, it's definitely worth taking a look there. I'm mock drafting every Sunday. That'll continue until mid-March, and we've got a draft coming up in just a little bit more than a week away, February
We
24th,
have
Rich, I believe.
two drafts. We have two drafts coming up that week, Tim.
What's the other one?
Right? The Battle of the Fantasy
Oh,
Gods or something?
Insider Baseball League. Yeah,
Insider
we got
Baseball
that.
League, yes.
Yeah, we got that coming up. So, you know what? Hey, the real game is just around the corner, and I'm pumped and looking forward to it.
And Tim, it's going to be a great week as pitchers and catchers report. I'll be traveling for the next 3 weeks, so I won't be around much. So that's making our show a little challenging. But I write for Prospect 360, right? One, I write all about prospects. It's been a little light over the last week or so. I'll be having rookies coming out very soon, and getting that stuff. And in our my fictitious 2019 world All-Star game, I'll have that. Series, so I'm working diligently on those, Tim. So busy writing, just haven't published anything in the last week. And after publishing over 100,000 words in a 5 month period of time, Tim, I needed a couple weeks off.
Well, I can understand that, Rich. That's a lot of content to be churning out, isn't it?
Absolutely, Tim. We have to close with one personal thing, and I need your. This isn't a guest the player. It could be. First question for you is, I know you're a really bright guy. I know you know a lot about things. How much do you know about food preservatives?
If it was the early 70s and you were asking me about chemicals, no, just kidding, just kidding. Not much, Rich.
So, Tim, my wife and I try to eat healthy. We're getting older as you are, and we try to limit the beef that we partake in and not too much processed cookies. So we try to eat organic when we can. And in our house, and we have two refrigerators. We have the main refrigerator in the house, and then we have one in the garage that sits for special occasions when the kids are home or we got parties and we throw crap out there. And so it was Thanksgiving, Tim, and we bought a lot of fruit and
Right.
a bag of grapes, Tim, at the grocery store, a bag of grapes, and we put them out in the refrigerator in the outside in the garage. And they've been sitting there, Tim. And I. It has now been 3 months, and my wife and I talk about this quite often because as we look out there, after 3 months, Tim, those grapes are as plump and brand new looking as they were the day we got them home from the grocery store. Now, if things weren't so heavily preserved wise, or whatever that word would be, they should be rotten by now, Tim, or turned into raisins. I will take a picture of those grapes, and I will post them onto Twitter. I defy you to say that they look like they just came in from the grocery store. How is that possible?
I would think that there has to be some chemical enhancing in that process. Either that, or you accidentally bought plastic grapes. By now, they should have turned into wine, Rich.
But isn't that remarkable, Tim? I mean, you try to eat healthy and you get these grapes, and for 3 months, Tim, they haven't aged at all. I mean, that's a little scary to me.
Well, yeah, just think, for the past 3 months, they could have been sitting in your colon, right?
Exactly. I guess that's another one of my points. I got to wait for my next colonoscopy to come up to get rid of those grapes. It's frightening, Tim, that when we think about, I know the FDA is supposed to keep us healthy, and they do for the most part, but I think there needs to be a grape investigation here, Tim, with these. And if other people have had the same thing, please tweet out to me because it's downright scary out there, Tim. I'm a little worried. Maybe grapes, I'm taking them off the healthy list.
Well, you know what? I think somebody should, and name the investigation the Grapes of Wrath. How does that sound?
There you go, Timmy. It's been a fun show as always. Again, everybody, I know I've said this a bunch of times, but we will see you not next Sunday, Tim. But Monday, 9 p.m., Tim, 9 p.m.
And I'll be there with bells on. Have a good week traveling, Rich. And good luck to my partners this year in that chase for the World Series cash. Let's hope we have the same fantastic results we had in 2014.
It's going to be great, Tim. We'll see you next week.
Have a good one.